It is now time for a very Zelda 8-bit coughing edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into your friends and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey. I'm joined by the coughing man himself, Basher.
Whoa, we both have AIDS here. Relax, all right? All right, what was that?
That was right in your ear.
What was that? Coughing man number two.
We are here to talk about Archvale. Warning at the beginning of this episode, two things. We did just record a quick bonus episode about the Activision buyout, which currently happened. We just want to get our thoughts out separate on that. So that'll be going out the same time as this. So just to give you a heads up. Second one is we both have COVID. So we are both kind of struggling with our voice and coughing, etc. So apologies. I will do my best to get all the coughs and everything out in post. But just to give you a heads up on that. Archvale, that is what we are here to talk about. It's the first game that we have played in 2022. The description for this game is: a malicious and cruel king once ruled the land and terrorized all who faced him. He, along with the fabled arch to Archvale, have become the fodder for ghost stories and passed down myths. All that remains of him are the undying beings whom the king cursed with immortality to live out their eternity in his prisons. You and you alone can defeat the undying and rid the world from the dark shadow the king has left. Journey across diverse regions, looting and crafting your way to better weapons and equipment. Through these upgrades, you'll be able to succeed against the host of enemies that await you. Wow, that was cute. First off, Microsoft, there's a spelling mistake and a grammar mistake here. Fix that. Okay. This last sentence does not make any sense. Enemies that await you stand between the truth and the said-to-be mythic arch to Archvale. There's some words missing in there, so hopefully you got all that. That's the description of this game. This is a isometric Zelda-style twin-stick shooter thing. Archvale, let's talk about it.
Twin-stick shooter thing. That's a...
Because it's like a twin-stick shooter, but you don't always shoot. Like, you have like a sword sometimes. Oh, so it's like a twin stick.
I always shot. I don't know what you were doing.
No, I did. I mean, yes, as soon as I got the book that was like homing.
Yeah, I mean, it's game over at that point. Archvale.
I said Archvale. Is it really Archvale? There's an H in there.
I don't know. Maybe Arc. Listen, I'm going with Archvale, all right? I'm hoity toity over here.
So this was a game I actually picked up. It was just, I started it one day and I was like, oh, okay, this has got potential. So that's how we landed on it. Just to give that
is
heads
that
up.
True?
So, knew nothing about this going into it.
I thought I just played this and then I said I beat it. No, I beat it before you. I remember. All right. Yeah.
So I guess we did that back. So we both did the same thing where you suggested a game and then I finished it like the next day.
Yeah, there we go.
And then I suggested a game and you're like, done. And I was like,
okay. So, I mean, I think that goes to what kind of game, the quality kind of game this is. I mean, you gave it to me to pick up and I kind of didn't put it down for a long time. Not that this game is super long, but I definitely just kept going at it. So it's like you said, it moves like Zelda, like old school Zelda, where you have your map screen that you have very small area. You go up left or right to the next part of the map, and then you got another little area. And each area is full of enemies and has a sort of, I'll call it a bullet hell feel. And initially, I was kind of frustrated because I felt like it was going to be one of those games that's punishing just for punishing's sake. But I was completely wrong in all the best ways, because once you start getting these, once you start unlocking the towns and getting these new abilities and new weapons, each one is just kind of cooler than the next. It completely changes the way you play the game. And it makes it not only easier, but more fun to play. Even when it's challenging, it gets to a point where you're kind of, if you screw up, it's your fault type of thing. And which is the best kind of feel in one of these games.
Yeah, I had a mostly solid experience with it. The middle of it, it was kind of like a roller coaster for me. Stuff that I liked, stuff that I didn't like. So the middle of the game, like it's like you said, it's the Zelda type, and there's a lot going on though. Like you said, it's kind of got bullet hell feels at time, but it's a very challenging game. It's taking that the dungeon structure of Zelda, which is like your 8 dungeons, and each one has its own theme, each area has its own theme, and you kind of go into them. You can kind of go out of order, but not really. There's like a couple times that the path diverges, and you can sort of choose which way you want to go. But yeah, so like it's for me, it's a little difficult to talk about, which is my thing lately. And simply because I really like certain aspects of it, but I also feel like I wasn't playing the game the way they wanted me to. At all times, there's like 8 slots on the bottom of the screen because there's all these different kinds of weapons. Sometimes it's a bow, sometimes it's an axe, sometimes it's a sword. Sometimes it's a book, which is like a magic spell. And you can switch between them on the fly of these 8 spots. And that's where you're going to spend 95% of the time, is you're on the main screen fighting whatever's coming at you. And you can pick whatever weapon you want. But I was kind of treating it like just like a twin stick shooter once I got the book, of just like, I don't want to get up in their face, because certain weapons have certain, you know, strengths. Like the sword obviously is a shorter range, but it hits harder kind of thing. So once I sort of got through the first 2 or 3 areas, I was hooked, kind of like you. I was like, this is really cool. Like the bosses are unique. The combat is engaging. I'm finding these towns. I'm upgrading. Like it's got the traditional things of becoming stronger, fighting new enemies, etc. And then I sort of got to the middle and I was just kind of like, I feel like this game, like it sort of starts being cheap. It's like, okay, we're going to start being really difficult for, in my opinion, no real reason. I don't know if you ever ran into that, but the middle of it, I was still engaged with it, but I wasn't in love with it the way that I was for the, we'll say dungeon 1 through 3.
I mean, I definitely felt that way. I think at a different time though. And I think for me, it was my own doing, my own mistakes, because it's like you said, you can play this out of order, if you will. It's almost Mega Man. Think Mega Man in a way, where it's like you can go left, you can attack any boss or dungeon you want in any order, almost any order anyway. And I went to the right instead of the left, let's say. And
right. One of those.
Right. And so like what that so when I did that, I spent most of my time here actually just beating my head against the walls inside this one dungeon, trying to beat this one boss, being under-leveled, under-equipped, not knowing I'm not supposed to be there anyway. So that frustrated me to no end. And I thought that was going to be the case the entire game. But kind of once I got the better weapons, I felt like I had a different kind of issue than you. It wasn't that I felt like the game was being cheap, but rather I was being cheap, if that makes sense, because I was just kind of getting the best books that I could get that just kind of had homing missiles shooting out of it. And it became less about the skill and just more about, all right, let me just get to the end of this dungeon so I can get to the next dungeon, because that's all I really care about. And I was kind of playing like zombie mode for a little bit there in the middle.
So I guess that's my question, is like, I couldn't really tell if perhaps I was going out of order, or if the game was just being, if the ramp of it or for it was just super aggressive. Maybe both?
Probably.
I guess you don't really know. I mean, because it lets you wander in out of order, and I just feel I feel like there was multiple times to where I was just like, I feel like I should be doing more damage here. Like I'm getting through this. But like, it's not easy, and that's not to say like the game should be easy, but it's just like it doesn't feel like it did in the first 3. Like the ramp felt very clear, and then it just kind of felt like I was getting stonewalled.
I mean, I think that might be, for me, it might be the weakest part of the game is the Zelda level layout, because it's not really handled that well. It just becomes an arena shooter in a way. of enemies, and there's definitely a point where you get some enemies that are just, it really turns to a straight bullet hell game at some point, to a point where it's just right. Like you're just doing this to do this. So like I agree in that case 100% in some scenarios, but I think part of the doesn't help that it's like you said, am I supposed to be here then? Like, am I missing an item? Am I missing a power up? Is something I'm doing incorrectly? And I think that part of that is because the kind of go where you want when you want style gameplay is not laid out very well. Or the best it could be. It's not terrible.
Right.
It's not even bad.
Well,
it's just a bit confusing almost.
Right. I think actually that some sort of like thinking about it and remembering. To me, I think the actual problem is that there's no clear upgrade path. Like you can sort of improve your equipment and like I said, there's 8 different like main weapon types between, and like some are guns, some are bows, some are close combat, some are the magic spells. And sometimes they drop, sometimes they don't, kind of thing. And I sort of fell into this rhythm of every time I would find a weapon, I would sort of open up my inventory and compare it. And like, you know, like any good RPG, like there's drawbacks. Like sometimes there's pluses, sometimes there's minuses. But when it came to the weapons, it always just seemed like I was picking the one with the bigger number. And there's like an anvil guy that you can go to and he'll improve your weapon, kind of thing. So what ended up happening was I found myself using the same basic 2 weapons because the other ones I just wasn't interested in. And I wasn't ever sure if I had the best one that I could currently have, which sort of then put me down this path of being like, man, like, am I missing something here? And by the end of the game, the last boss, I totally was like, there was something that I missed. And like, I could not beat this last boss. Like I was just like, dude, like I'm hitting him and it is going down like a sliver. And then you told me about this thing. And I guess no spoilers, but I got the thing and then I beat the game, kind of thing. I was like, okay, like this is, I'm not crazy. I was missing something.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And it's not a spoiler to say that it's just the best book upgrade that you can get. Like it's because when you get to the towns, it's a video game made in recent memory. Therefore there's crafting.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
So there's a crafting tip.
It would be a better game if all that wasn't in it, I guess, is where I'm getting. Like if it was more straightforward like a Zelda,
right.
And it was just like, look, pick your weapon, go. Like, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more because I think the best part and the challenge is the enemy variety and the location variety. Like all that stuff is awesome. The music as well. Like all the music is really good in every area, especially the fire area. That's got some awesome music in it. But I guess that's what I was trying to get to.
No, you absolutely, I would agree with that because as good as the game feels to play, it's the gameplay that feels so good. The things around it right. aren't really that well fleshed out. Upgrading your weapons and getting the best armor consists really of simply playing the game. So you don't have to go out of your way to do these things. So to your point, it would have worked better and tighter if it was just a tighter, more linear Zelda type of game. Because
a Zelda bullet hell, basically.
Exactly.
Like that's, yeah.
Because I also find the weakest part was kind of looking at my inventory and saying, oh, which one of these armors has the bigger number? So what do I need? I need Onyx. Okay, so
And the inventory system sucks too.
It's real bad because I spent the entire game thinking I'm stupid because I can't figure out how to sell items or break down items. You just don't do that in this game. You just collect.
Well, and you can't press and hold like on a menu. Like you have to press the D-pad down every time. You can't just like, why? why is that a
thing? Yeah. So there's a lot. I feel it's definitely one of those games that feels like to me, and let me know how you feel about this, where it's like they kind of they got the feeling, they got the core gameplay down and they nailed it, but then it's like even the enemy variety is there. But then it's like, okay, we need to put things around it. And none of that was really as good as just that core gameplay. Like it's like we need to add things around this game to so the players can have something to do. Or so almost not to pad time, but to fill space. And it's like it just that extra stuff just isn't the best parts of the game.
Yeah, to me it seems more like they had the idea and they liked the idea, and instead of cutting it, they went with the best solution they thought it was. But it's one of those things that I don't want to say a more seasoned developer, because that's not fair, because I'm not a developer by any means. I think that's just one of those decisions that nobody was willing to cut it, basically. And so it ends up staying, and it ultimately, like, it does not, I probably sound more negative than I am on this game, but that's the stuff that bothered me. And the easy solution is it shouldn't be there, in my opinion. So, but it also, this game does have difficulty settings. So perhaps on higher difficulties or something, it makes a bigger deal. I just found that a lot of that stuff was annoying, but all that being said, I super enjoy, like, I enjoyed my time with it for sure. I had frustrating moments, but none of them were frustrating to the point to where I wanted to stop playing the game. I think the last boss is, it's difficult. Like it is very difficult, and I wasn't mad at it, but it, what's the word I want to use? It was frustrating, but it wasn't frustrating to the point to where like I didn't want to finish the game. But when I was done with it, I was just like, okay, I'm good. Like I don't want to play this anymore. I'm glad that I finished it. That last boss was challenging, but I don't know how I feel, I guess.
Oh, I mean, I would say that last boss annoyed the heck out of me. Like, excuse me. I would say that last boss annoyed the heck out of me, because when I first got there, I turned the game off. because I would play this game at probably an hour at a time, I guess. So like good chunks at a time. So it's like,
yeah, it's because it's about 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah,
long.
So like I would play 45 minutes or an hour, just hanging around, shooting stuff and enjoying my time for the most part. But then that last boss is clearly there just to be a pain. And I got a flashback to my very first minutes of the game where it's like, I felt like, oh, so this is the part where it's difficult just to be difficult. No other reason. And it's actually not that difficult, because I ended up beating him probably on my, fourth or fifth attempt, I would say. But assuming you have the correct items, because there's the best right. book and the best sword in the game. So if you have the best items, you can beat them pretty quickly, easily. But it's just one of those things where it's like, it gets super hard for no reason. It's like, oh, I don't feel like doing this right now. And that's part of the reason why I also felt like after beating it, done. Like, I'm good. Like, I did the thing, and I'm good.
Very weird ending too. Like, I don't quite understand it, but it's not important.
If you want to fill them in on the story, feel free. I skipped everything that had a story involved in it.
There really isn't much of a story till the very end, and then it's very strange. So, but again, not really important.
I mean, overall, I really enjoyed my time with it. It's just a matter of there's a lot of things around it that's just not super fleshed out. The upgrading is super bare bones. Like, you don't really have to go searching for anything specific. There's no boss that drops a very specific thing. There's no real farm.
We didn't really go into it. So it does have kind of like a Dark Souls thing to where if you die, kind of thing. You have to go get your point. You lose your points and stuff. But I did enjoy the, they give you the freedom to sort of, you can find the boss and then go straight to the boss. But if you do explore, there are reasons to explore. Like you get bomb upgrades, you get potion upgrades and stuff like that. I actually super enjoyed that aspect of it. But the other actual upgrading of like your weapons and stuff is very uninspired. Like you don't ever really like find a super weapon or like there's nothing crazy hidden in the game, if that makes sense, which is a plus and a minus in some ways. But yes, like the upgrading of your actual skills. And there's also those like
those puzzles.
Some of them are good. Some of them are very frustrating. But those gave you like badges, which give you like temporary buffs. And it's like a plus and minus system. Like your bombs do more damage you've got an extra heart, you know, but you only have so many points that you can put into them kind of thing. All that stuff is cool. But like you said, all the basics of the upgrading your main equipment and stuff it's very trivial. There's not a lot of reason to do it other than to make the number go up.
Yeah. I mean, like there's some towns have like 3 or 4 shopkeeps, but you don't even visit them. Like after seeing them the first time, like it's right. Almost like you could have just had one guy sell all of this stuff, but you didn't want to do that right. Because somebody had the idea of we'll be at towns, and that adds to the game. It adds to like the ambiance of the world and stuff. And it's like, it does, but at the same time, talking to this person to buy a potion upgrade and talking to this person to buy a different kind of potion upgrade and they're right next to each other, it's like, this is redundant. Like, this does not need to be a town, if you will. But,
right.
I wouldn't say gut it, but at the same time, like if it's almost like you said before, like it would have worked better if it was just a little more streamlined and more Zelda-ish than it kind of lets on.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound more negative because I the gameplay is a lot of fun. I super enjoyed my time with it. So when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, how are we feeling on it? I think this is one far more good than bad, and I think people should give it a shot.
I say absolutely give this a shot. Your first playthrough is going to be it's going to be a lot of ups and downs in a good way, and then it's also one of those games that if you do end up loving it, you can up that difficulty and then go for some really cool hard runs here.
I would never want to do that, but more power to the person that does. So when it comes to Archveil, pass it on, give it a shot. Have some fun. We have a text message here. Apologies to the person who sent it. I know you sent it on the 1st of December, or wow, January. But we had pre-recorded some stuff and then we got sick, etc. There's a tweet that got sent out from the Game Awards, which happened, which we are not really going to talk about, other than the Game Awards are stupid. What is your biggest hope for gaming in 2022? So also, if you want to know, if you want me to read out who it was, leave a name. You got to leave a name, people. There you go. Because I do not know you by your phone number. I do not know you. I'm sorry. All right.
Biggest hope in gaming? Oh, man.
Biggest hope in gaming for 2022. From Anonymous.
Anonymous. She sounds hot. I'm trying to think.
I'll go first while you think. So, because I had the benefit of knowing. So. My biggest thing for 2022 is I want to see I can't think of the word I want to use. My biggest hope is that Horizon and Gran Turismo are good games because I have a PS5. Horizon Zero Dawn is a game that I really liked, but I could tell it was their first one out, and I'm super looking forward to that game. And I also we did not get a proper Gran Turismo on PlayStation 4, and I am a huge Gran Turismo and a simulation racing person now. And so I'm really looking forward to that on PS5. Reasons to play my PS5, basically. That's my biggest hope for 2022. When it comes to, you know, this show to be a little bit more on Game Pass, when it comes to my biggest hope for Game Pass is honestly just keep doing what you're doing. I'm super enjoying everything that they've been doing with it.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good one. I guess my biggest hope in gaming is, I mean, this is more on me probably than the industry, but I hope to enjoy more games. I think last year, honestly, over time, the last few years, personally speaking, it's just gaming has gotten more difficult for me in terms of just kind of picking something up, playing it, and enjoying it. There's just so little out there that is actually inspired or challenging or tries things anymore. There's a lot of carbon copies and trend chasing, and it just always stuff that I just don't really love anymore. And it's like you said in the previous episode about being an eclectic gamer. Like I hope for more opportunity to play more games that aren't Call of Duty, that aren't Halo, that aren't that's just aren't Far Cry, that's not the next open world game, that's not some Ubisoft open world game, that's not something that is just, wow, I did not know I was going to enjoy that. Like something,
right? And
you
that's
know, like
that's very much with Horizon. Like I really want Horizon to be good, because that first game was really, really solid, but it wasn't a home run. And like I'm looking for that next, like, just like, even though it's an anticipated game, I want to be blown away by something.
Right. You know what? To sum it up, I want to be blown away by something. It's really simple as that. I don't think I can't even say it's been a while, because it's not on Game Pass yet, but Inscription blew me away. But
Inscription's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. It probably will be on Game Pass.
You're welcome, by the way.
I think I was like 6 months late to your request, but yeah, like you're absolutely right on that. But yeah, it's just more different things, man. Like
I'm telling you, like this, I think you're coming around to like what happened to me at the beginning of last year. It was just like you and I, and a lot of other people are too. It's just like this cadence of you've got to be playing the biggest and the newest and the best thing at all times to be part of the gaming zeitgeist is slowly disappearing. And a big reason of that is Game Pass. Like, besides Inscription, like, because of what that game is, you really can sort of be late to the party now.
Absolutely.
Like, Archvale is not a new game, but you know what? I played it and I still see people talking about it. And it's because of stuff like Game Pass. It's just like, I just want to find good games. Like, AAA just isn't, it's not what it used to be. Or maybe that's just me, but considering other people are feeling the same way, I think it's just that people are more excited about finding good games rather than the latest game.
Absolutely. That's definitely a trend.
I'm excited.
That's definitely a trend in gaming with gamers, for sure. And to wrap it up on one last hope is just that I hope gamers start speaking, voting, talking, walking with their wallets more. There's been like the trend in gaming is to release unfinished product and just sell you DLC, or just wait and the game will be good. I'm not one of those people that will say never ever pre-order. Like, do what you want with what you want. However, vote with your dollars. If you don't like something, if you know you're not going to like something, if you know something is shortchanging you, don't buy it. Like, it's the only thing literally the only thing that they understand.
Yeah, it's I look at something like Battlefield and it's sad and kind of funny in many ways. So
mostly sad. But
that being said, yeah, it is what it is. All right, that's gonna do it. And I just want to clarify, the reason I said the Game Awards are garbage is simply because this last one, like, I will never respect it the way it probably deserves or should be, simply because, well, that's, let me rephrase that. I don't respect it and I want to in a way that it deserves, but I can't because they don't focus on games in any capacity. It is about trailers for the newest games, which is fine. If that's what you want to do, then that's what E3 is for. If you want to be a mini E3 or be your own summer games fest in the winter, December winter games fest, do that. But don't call yourself the Game Awards and then not focus on the awards, not focus on the devs. That's what drives me nuts about it. So that's why I called it garbage. But yeah, so there you go. All right, that's going to do this episode. You can shoot us a text message like this person did, 574-651-9256, gpopfans@gmail.com. We got a couple games that we played. I'm not sure what we're going to be recording next. We will, so I guess we'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.